thing doesn't fit.
You're the spitting image of your future son.
What? Help me move Jennifer over here.
So what's the deal?
Got her feet.
Okay, now what?
In exactly 2 minutes, you go around the corner into the Cafe 80s.
No. Cafe 80s?
One of those nostalgic places. We're not done right now. Go in and order a Pepsi. Here's a 50. Then wait for a guy named Griff.
Clap, Griff.
Right. Griff's going to ask you about tonight. Are you in or out? Tell him you are out. Whatever he says, whatever happens, say no, you're not interested. Then leave. Come back here and wait for me. Don't talk to anyone. Don't touch anything. Don't do anything. Don't interact with anyone. And try not to look at anything.
I don't get it. I thought you said this had something to do with my kids.
Look what happens to your son.
My son? God, it looks just like me. Within 2 hours of his arrest, Martin McFly Jr. was tried, convicted, and sentenced to 15 years in the state penitentiary? Within 2 hours?
The justice system works swiftly in the future now. Abolish all lawyers.
Oh, this is heavy.
Oh, it's worse. Next week, a daughter comes to break out of jail. She gets sent up for 20 years.
My daughter? Wait, I have a daughter?
You see, this one event starts a chain reaction that completely destroys an entire family.
Hey, Dr. Sting. Well, this is tomorrow's newspaper.
Precisely. I already went further ahead into time to see what else happens. I backtracked everything to this one event. That's why we're here today, to prevent this incident from ever happening. I'm late.
Wait a minute. Where are you going now?
Wait to set the real Marty Jr. You're taking his place around the corner at the Cafe 80s. Guy named Biff, just say no.
Hey, what about Jennifer? We're not just going to leave her here.
Don't worry. She'll be safe. We'll just leave for a few minutes. Oh, Marty. Careful on that Griff Carey. He's got a few short circuits in his bionic implants.
Yeah, you're going, what in the world has that got to do with church? Did you guys catch any of that? As far as the consequences of actions, what we do can affect our families and their future. You know, Back to the Future, Trilogy 1, 2, and 3, that they're always trying to correct something that happened previously to make things right in the present. Unfortunately, we don't have that privilege, do we? We can't go to the future and make things right in the present. And we have to be careful about what we do, because it can affect, obviously, each other and our kids and our family and our generations and so forth. That's why, as believers in Christ, we do our best to live for the Lord, follow Him, love Him, and be the people that God's called us to be. That can only be done as we take seriously what God has for us to be as Christian men and women, right? And we want our kids to remember our faith, our commitment, our dedication to the Word and what He wants us to do. And in that, that's one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children and the next generation that'll come after us. With that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for each one here this morning. I just pray that as we have gathered together, as we are in the midst, in the very center of where we are, that You, Father, would send Your Spirit, command Your Spirit to just be very obviously present, that we will hear from You. I'm praying, dear Heavenly Father, that the message that You have today will just be blessed by You, carried by You, and that each of us will remember the simplicity of the point of the message. Just pray Your honor this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's vacation time, as you notice, and what happens in Kalinga during vacation time? Spring break, winter break, summer break. People break. They leave because it's hot and they want to go somewhere else and get refreshed, and there's not a whole lot to do here in Kalinga, but that's okay. That's what is to be expected. But family vacations are important. And some people didn't grow up with family vacations. They don't understand the importance of what it meant to get together with your family and go out and be out of your normal element and just be committed to focus on each other and what you're doing. When I was a kid growing up, we would go one of two places. When I was very, very little, before my parents divorced, every summer we went to the Smoky Mountains. And I remember clearly the smoky haze, the bluish-green mountains, the stopping of traffic to watch black bears walk across the street, the campgrounds and all of that. Those are great memories that I've had. But then afterwards, as I was a teenager, going to Walt Disney World every every summer and enjoying seeing all the differences and kind of taking all that in. Vacation is important, but I do remember also that on vacation, especially during camping, opportunities, especially as a dad, as an adult, as a mature Christian, that I would look for the opportunities to recognize who the campers were beside me or across from me or where we were interacting to find out if maybe they were a Christian. You know, looking for ways to say, you know, I wonder if they're saved. I wonder, Lord, can you show me the open door to put my foot in that I can at least engage that conversation and to kind of feel around and find out if they're saved. And sometimes it would turn out that they were, you know, have that sense with other Christians. You think, wow, you know, I know they're a Christian. And you check it out and you find out, yeah, they are, because of that oneness in the Spirit in Christ. But then there were other times where that wasn't the case. And then it got kind of nerve-wracking because then I said, okay, now, Lord, what do you want? He said, well, I want you to go a step further. I want you to share me with them. And I'm like, okay. And we all know that. You've heard me say it many times. It's scary. It's absolutely scary to share the gospel, but it's also thrilling when we see the power of God working through us. And so we have a great opportunity as Christian families on vacation during those special times to interact with each other in a different dynamic, in a different area, in a different, sometimes completely new settings. And we get to demonstrate our love for each other and our encouragement for each other. We get to, as parents, model God's grace and love to our kids. And even when we're all adults, to be able to recognize, you know, I can see Christ in you. I can see Christ in my dad or my mom, or I can see Christ in my kids, and rejoice in the fact that there's a relationship there within our family that's with Christ, and how we can praise God for that. And so God has a plan for our families. And I had posted earlier this week, I believe it was to the youth, what does it mean to be a family? I think to young adults, what do you think God's purpose was or is for the family? And as I pose these questions here this morning, we might have different thoughts about what the purpose of family was for. And we know in times past when we've done studies that even in the scriptures, it talks about the family, the marriage is a reflection of Christ in the church, the bride. We know that the family is to represent God. And that's the key essence of the purpose of the family. God intended that every member of the family was to know God. And it was to start with the parents. Now, this series of messages dealing with family is, you know, some of you are younger parents. Some of us are well-seasoned parents. And yet, these values still hold true. We may have raised our kids. Our kids are adults. For Kathy and I, we know that we have grandchildren now. So one of the things that we're looking at, besides trying to maintain our walk with Christ as a testament to our kids, is that our grandchildren will start that much more open to hear what we have to share with them about Christ, to plant in their hearts the truth of who Jesus is and how much he loves them. And I love that with children, because I remember as a kid in kindergarten, anything you could tell me about Jesus that was telling me that Jesus loved me, I wanted to hear. And so what a joy that was. And so we have that opportunity to plant in our kids the value of who God is. And so Adam and Eve, obviously, we can all say we're related because Adam and Eve are our first grandparents, right? But Adam and Eve sought to teach their children about God. There was a model there that I talked about. There's a model of responsibility to reflect who God is to our kids, to our families, because like the video clip is that what we do, what we say, how we invest, what our actions are will affect lives, families, homes, and the future. And we have to weigh that up against God's word and to make sure that we're yielding and representing him and his word. In Genesis 4, 1 through 4, it says, "Now Adam and Eve knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have acquired a man from the Lord.' Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Cain and Abel both knew that they had an obligation, responsibility, and a testimony from their parents that they were to honor God. They were challenged to honor God. They were instructed to honor God. They were expected to honor God. And we know how the story goes with Cain and Abel, that Cain didn't honor God with his good fruit, but Abel did. And we know that Cain got jealous of Abel and killed him. We know that account. We know that story. But we're to make sure that we encourage our kids to honor God. And that doesn't just that is not just in this moment of when we're first young parents raising our kids. It's not just with our grandchildren. But how many people in this church do you think look up to you as an adult Christian? That you might be that spiritual parent. That they might you may not even know that your witness, your example is so impacting to them because you're an adult Christian that they respect. So we're going to cut that off or the hum or something. Do we know what it is? Okay, we're turning it off. It's Vacation Bible Study Week, and it's status quo for our ACs to act up. Every summer, it seems like. Is that it? Okay, I guess that was. Well, thank you. So, that's a great honor for us to be able to invest in our kids about what's most important, right? A relationship with God. You want them to come to know the Lord. You want them to grow up and be mature. You know, some parents will think, okay, if I can just plant enough seed in them to where they come to know Christ as their Savior, then I know when they die they're going to heaven. Right? But we want much more than that. We want to make sure that they're not only saved, but that they're living a life committed to Christ. And that they're carrying on that obligation to honor God to their children and to generations and to generations. I told my son and my daughter not too long ago that when God takes me home, that I don't have a lot of material. I don't have nothing. I said, I think he said point blank, I don't have anything material to leave you. Well, the garage, but I don't always claim what's in the garage. But what I did tell them was that the best inheritance, I was taught this years ago, that we as Christians can give our kids is our faith. If we can teach our kids to know God, to love God, to be representatives of God, to have that relationship with God that's rich, that's genuine, that's tried and true and consistent, there's no greater inheritance that we can leave our kids. And so that's what we need to be pursuing is to make sure that whether we're new parents or whether we're grandparents or whoever we are, that we continue to invest to encourage our kids and grandkids and so forth to honor God. Abraham taught his children to know God's ways, to do what's right and just. For what reason? That peoples or nations of people would be blessed by knowing God. Now, you know, you need to understand that God had an intention through Abraham to bless all nations that they might what? Know God. You and I have families. And as Christian families, we are to do the same thing. To be those vessels that God can use to help other people, other nations, if you will, come to know God. In Genesis 18, 17 and 18, it says, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham to what he has spoken to them." Is that an easy challenge for Abraham or for you or for I as a Christian parent? That we would charge our kids, we would command our kids, we would instruct our kids, we would set the example, so there's no hypocrisy there, to our kids on how to be the Christian people that God wants us to be. Because it says there that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice. You can talk to someone blue in the, until they're blue in the face about how good these things are and right these things are. But if we don't live them, we have to live them to be that model and that example to our kids. They won't forget it. They won't forget it. They might say, you know what? My grandpa or grandma or whomever, years down, they were strong in faith, strong in the Lord. When they lived to their 90s, they talked about the Lord, or they quoted hymns, or they talked about the values of God. It was ingrained into their lives. We want to be that type of people that were remembered for that type of commitment and relationship to Jesus that just engrafted every part of our being for the Lord. And so in verse 19, to be committed to teaching our kids to keep the way of the Lord, committed to teaching our kids how to walk in righteousness and how to be just, was a great challenge. But look here in the fill-in here, it says, God desires to use our families as they live for Him to bless others by displaying and revealing God's love and grace to those that don't know Him. What's the difference between displaying and revealing? Displaying is, I can put something on a shelf and put a light on it and display it. How does that relate to us? We can make it known and people can know that we are Christians. We are of a Christian home, a Christian family. That's displaying the fact that we are a Christian family. But to reveal God's love is to reveal the detail of what it means to be a Christian family. The detail of knowing how to be the example that says, look, when I blow it, when I mess up, when I'm got the wrong attitude, or whatever the case is, and as a Christian, and I know you're watching, whether you're family or neighbor or friend or whatever, and I know you're watching, but when they see you walk through that challenge, even that flop, with faith in Christ, you handle it biblically, you deal with it rightly, you make sure that you get yourself back and right with God, you work through those challenges. When our kids see us depending upon God, when we're up against the wall and we're saying, God, what are we going to do about these financial concerns? What are we going to do about this situation that we're facing that is so difficult? What are we going to do about the fact that we are trapped and we don't have a way out? What are we going to do? And when they see us taking the step of faith, that we rely on God consistently through every challenge. When we fall on our face, we get up through repentance and confession and repentance. When we see what's before us, we rely on God and we walk with Him in His strength and trust His provision. When our faith continues to be projected and our hearts are laid before God in dependence. That is the revealing of the reality that we are a Christian family. And that's of great value. Because it's easy to say that we're Christian. Some will say, what faith are you in the hospital? Well, I'm not Jewish. I'm not atheist. Oh, I'm Christian. And it might be a category. That's a display. But it's important that there has to be a revealing of the true character of a life that's living for Christ in a relationship with Him. That's the revealing that's being spoken of here. So God desires to use our families as they live for Him to bless others by displaying and revealing God's love and grace to those that don't know Him. In Acts 3:25 and 26, it says, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities or sins. Are you blessed as a believer because your sins are forgiven? Am I? We all are, aren't we? We have the knowledge that Jesus took the punishment of our sins on the cross for us, that we would escape the punishment that God has for us because of our sin. We are exempt from that punishment. We're exempt from that judgment. We're exempt from that horror of expectation for those that don't know that they've been forgiven of their sin through faith in Christ. And so we have that. That's been given to us. We have that hope that was given that as as Adam and Eve knew God and shared God, as Abraham was chosen of God to teach values of God to his children that would affect nations around the world for generations and generations, that includes you and I. And because we have that great privilege, our families as Christians have the great privilege of sharing the truth of Jesus with others as well. I don't want us to think in here this morning about the simplicity of the message, being that I know I'm a Christian, I know we're a Christian home, I know we're supposed to share Christ. I want us to think a little bit more definitively in saying that our challenge, our goal, our target, our purpose, our intention is to represent Jesus Christ the best that we can as a family, that others will come to know Him, and never, ever, ever, ever take that as something light, but as a great privilege and joy that we have in Jesus. We have that responsibility to share the gospel. You know, we pray for our kids when they're born that they come to know Jesus as their Savior. We pray for that God will use us to break up the tender ground of their heart, that they'll be receptive to the gospel. We rejoice when they pray and they receive Christ into their heart, and you know it's real, and you're saying praise God. When we see them get baptized, we're rejoicing because they follow through on that baptism as a statement of commitment to follow Christ. And then we think, well, I hope they grow up to be strong Christians. But one of the things that I think that we need to be real conscientious about as Christian families is to teach our children how to share the gospel, which pins a question. It pins down this question for all of us. How well do we share the gospel? If we don't model sharing the gospel, our kids aren't going to reflect that model, at least not as quickly. I'm not going to exclude it. Because I was brought up in a non-Christian home. Didn't go to church but twice a year. No Bibles around the house. No prayers before meal. There's no Christian ethics in the home other than some morality. But in that, we need to be able to teach our kids, look, this is how you share your faith. And it's by modeling it. It's about talking about your relationship. It's not just declaring, but being what God has called us to be. And so we not only verbally share the good news with our children and teach them how to share it with others, but we also authentically live Christ-centered lives and teach them to do the same. You see, that Back to the Future clip again, we didn't understand what its intent was simply this: our actions will affect others and the future. Our objective as believers is that our actions will affect others in the future in a way that brings glory and honor to God. And that's a great privilege. It was a great privilege for Adam and Eve to present the truth of God and to encourage their children to honor Him. It was a great privilege and honor for Abram, who became Abraham, to be called of God to be a father of many nations by teaching his children how to walk in righteousness and to be just and to be right with God. And it's a great privilege for you and I to share in that, because we do. We absolutely do. We're to help each other grow in Christ. We're to help each other be strengthened in Christ. We're to help our homes to be growing up in Christ. It's a continuous process. Our home, our church, and our nation to be more Christ-like. And the only way we can do it, as a nation, we can declare, well, we're not a Christian nation no more, we're a post-Christian nation, but hey, you know what? That's the display. What's important is the revealing of who we are in God, of people right with Him, who love Him, and are walking with Him. We are to display that, we are to reveal that, and we are to share that love that God has for all people, because He loved us and generations before us and yet to come. In Galatians 6:10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. You're talking about the family. We're talking about, and immediately our minds go to our spouses and our children. Immediately our nucleus family becomes the priority, the focal point. But we are the household of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We know that. We are part of the body of Christ. We know that. We know that we're the bride of Christ. We know that. We know that there's the universal church of Christian believers throughout the ages. We know that these things are true, but we can declare that as a display. But as a church family, we must reveal that. And revealing that comes down to the bottom core of you and I, moment by moment, day by day, walking in sync with Jesus. And the revealing will be made clear. And we can praise God and praise God for that. So, how do we apply that today? I'm just going to use one example. Are we a sports community? I mean, there's most places, aren't most towns and cities sport oriented? I think so. And our VBS is going to be sports focused this year. But when families are out of town because they're taking their kids or grandkids to a game and they're cheering on their team, they have a choice to represent Jesus or not. They have a choice to be kind and to be supportive and to be encouraging and to reveal the character of Christ, or they have the choice to be bullies that rant and rave and are rude. We have an opportunity as Christians when we go out in that arena. Young families are taking their families out to sports to look at that as, I have an opportunity to reveal Jesus by my character, by my action, not just by my declaration or the displaying that I'm a Christian. Doesn't always make you a little bit uncomfortable, does me. I hesitate putting on my car the fish sign. I did for years. But when I was going over the speed limit, I'm like, you know, it's not a great testimony. Or, let's just be raw about it. If I'm having an argument with my wife in the car and someone looks in the window and they see the Christian sign on the car. And so we can declare it, but we have to reveal it. And that's so important for us, each one of us, to remember. And so look for every opportunity to share Christ. If you're going to sports, if you're going to the mountains, if you're going to the ocean, if you're doing any vacation time, any weekend fun time, look at that as another arena in which you can present Jesus by revealing him to others through your actions and through your declaration. Here's a question. Do people know you're a Christian family? I look around this room, I think, yeah, I think everybody in here, most that I can tell, I would guess and I would bank on it, without a doubt, that people in the community know that you're a Christian family. Now the question is, how well do we reveal that? And we need to think about that. So during this summer, look for the opportunities to be the Christian family that God has called us to be, because isn't that the great privilege? Adam and Eve taught to honor God, taught the children to honor God. Abraham taught the values of God that affected nations, that affected us, that our families are to affect others. And so the question is, what's the purpose of the family? It's that God will work through your family and my family to bless others with him. And that's one of the most powerful things that we could have in our community and in our culture and in our nation and, of course, in the world around us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. Oh, Father, it's a privilege to be a people that carry your name. We are Christians. It's a greater privilege to be shaped and formed and to your children in a way that reveals who you are in our lives. And so I praise you for what you do, what you've done, what your ordained plan was before time began, and what the outcome of that will be in eternity forward. And so, Father, as we go this week, if we are doing anything special out of town or in town, whatever the case, let us remember we're the family of God. Our family is a Christian family, and we've been so blessed. Let us share those blessings with those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.